on ESPN Pensacola. It is our first ever guest on the show, and arguably it is the most important guest. Joining us now on the program is Blue Wahoos manager Kevin Randall, a.k.a. Smoke. And Smoke, first of all, appreciate you doing this, man.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right, so the Wahoos, as we talked about earlier, they take 4 out of 6 to open the year. There's a lot of positives. I think you can look at this team, especially whenever you're starting a season. But straight out of the skipper's mouth, what is the thing that you were most pleased about from your team's performance early?
Well, I think just getting out of the gates playing well was good for us. I think that the two takeaways for me are the young kids, Max Meyer and Jake Eater, with their outstanding performances and their first professional debut in Double-A. It's a big ask of them, and they answered.
Can you describe for people who've never played professional baseball, who've never made it to the Double-A level, why it is such a big deal that someone like Max Meyer or Jake Eater, who've never pitched pro ball up until today, were able to perform so well? Because people talk about how big of a jump it is to go from high A to Double A, and these kids obviously skipped every level of A ball until they got to Double A. So why is it so significant that they were able to be so good?
Yeah, I think it's just experience. Usually Double A, you're getting guys that have been in professional baseball for about 3 years. They've had the opportunity to get their feet wet at the lower levels, and they're so advanced there for their age. They have electric stuff. They throw strikes. They throw their breaking balls for strikes, which is probably one of the main reasons why we have them here in Double A. You're facing some advanced hitters who can lay off some pitches, but when you put them all in the zone and you got elite stuff, you're going to do well.
You talk about having elite stuff. Certainly on display with Meyer and Eater. I want to start with Max Meyer first. He was obviously the third overall pick in the 2020 draft, taken by the Miami Marlins. There's a huge ceiling on him. What do you think the upside is as you project him moving forward? And ultimately, if he's able to get close to, every ounce of talent that he has, if he's able to sort of max out in terms of his ability, are we talking just an everyday starter in the major leagues? Are we talking about a number one in a rotation? What do you see when you kind of evaluate him as a prospect?
Obviously the ceiling is very high for Max. I think just getting an early look at him, we have to see durability out of him. We need to find out if he can pitch every 5 days. This year with the 6-game series, we're kind of limited on what we can do with innings wise on these guys. But, overall, it's like, you kind of really see a major league starter out of him, whether it's a top of the rotation 1-2 or just maybe a 2-3, I think kind of where he slots in, which is a big major league value.
We are joined by Kevin Randall, the manager of the Blue Wahoos, a.k.a. Smoke. I want to talk very quickly about Eater before we move on to some other subjects. Look, obviously, again, another highly touted pitcher, not just sort of in the Marlins system, but in all of minor league baseball. He strikes out 12 in his professional debut. He has a 4-strikeout first inning, which from his recollection is the first time that he's ever done it in his career. Did you know that he had the capability to generate so many swing and misses? Because obviously we all thought that 12 was outstanding, maybe a little bit higher than we would have expected. Or were you surprised to see that he was that dominant of a strikeout pitcher?
I really was. I knew he had good stuff. We watched him in spring training. I think I've seen about 3 or 4 starts. Liked what I saw. We really didn't know if he was going to fall to us in Double A. We thought he was just going to make his rounds in A ball and then work his way up. Just roster configurations had him coming here. But, overall, it's like the swing and miss was good to see. It was swing and miss in the zone. He expanded for swing and miss chases. And he's a young kid, he's a college guy, so he's a little bit advanced, but he's just young experience-wise for pro ball. But, he held his own out there, great composure. We need to work on some things when guys get on base and his holds and, things at a stretch. But overall, he's advanced, and hopefully we get to see it about every 6 days out of him like that.
Certainly some things to work on, but obviously loving what you're seeing. I want to talk about some other pitchers very briefly. We saw Anthony Maldonado used a couple of times, Colton Hawk as well. I think it's fair to assume that early in the season, there's a schedule for pitchers, guys trying to get their work in. More importantly, you're trying to get a look at some of these arms, get some evaluations, get those reports in. But how much time elapses before you start mentally pegging guys into certain roles? Like, okay, this is my long guy. This is my setup man. This is a guy I'm going to go to in a one-run game. Does that happen early, or is that something we have to wait maybe towards the second half of the season?
I think we need to get through the first month. Guys are just getting their workloads in, so we're trying to get guys, you know, right around 3 to 4 innings a week, 3 to 5 if you're a long guy. We got a couple long guys in mind, Mesa Jr. and Sean Gunther. So they're going to get their work in the middle innings and get 2 or 3 innings, you know, each time they go out. As far as like the 1-2 inning guys, the back end of the bullpen, so it's just going to be where we're at in the game. Who has the days to do it? And it's just kind of, you know, back end bullpen by committee, as you call it. And then, you know, after the first month, guys will find their roles and niches in the bullpen. And you kind of you line up your back end guys that way. So it's just they're going out, getting the ball, they're getting their outs. We're just getting some eyes on them, see how they perform, and we'll go from there.
The Blue Wahoos right now, in terms of a pitching staff, top 5 in minor league baseball in terms of runs allowed, also top 5 in batting average against. There's no doubt that Pensacola has got some pretty terrific arms, but they also have some very, very good bats as well. Before we talk about J.J. Bleday, because I know a lot of people are interested about him, the first thing that I noticed was you had a handful of guys who had spent some time, albeit maybe a small amount of time, in AA in 2019 with you in Jacksonville, like Victor Meza and Lazaro Alonso. Those guys came out this year ready to swing, and especially a guy like Alonso. I think he had something like 6 RBIs through the first 6 games. He's sitting well over 300. How pleased are you to see him having made an adjustment and looking a little more comfortable at this level than maybe he was when he first got here in 2019?
Yeah, both guys, Lazaro and Victor. You know, we had small sample size in AA 19. Lazaro, really, really small sample size. But Victor, we got to see him for a little bit, maybe a month and a half. We always knew what he could bring to us defensively, which is just a plus outfield and center field. But in spring, he made the adjustments. He's swinging the bat a lot better than what I remember. And, you know, he solidified the leadoff spot for us, and I think he's going to have a pretty good season. You know, his first year in professional baseball coming over from Cuba can be a little overwhelming, new country, this and that, and he's trying to perform, and maybe just was just, you know, overwhelming at times for him. But I think he's opened up some, and I think we're going to see his true potential come out this year.
No doubt. Hopefully he can keep that that good start to the season going as the Blue Wahoos enter their first homestand. Just a couple more questions for you, Smoke. J.J. Bleday got off to a good start in the beginning of the series. It looked like Mississippi made an adjustment. There were a few more swing and misses, a few more strikeouts. How would you evaluate his first series? And, I mean, you see this all the time on maybe a college football program. How high is the level of concern? I know it's early, but how concerned are we with the 200 batting average from a guy like Bleday?
Zero concern for Mr. Bleday. You know, he did his thing right away. He put the ball in play, put in play hard. He's swung a strike, you know, and then, you know, AA baseball guys make the adjustment. They kind of just felt like they weren't going to let J.J. beat them. And so they frustrated him a little bit with some off-speed out of his zone and, you know, snuck some strikes in. But they got him to expand and chase, which, you know, guys want to hit, so they want to hit. And they swing a little more often. They swing out of his zone, and the next thing you know, they think there's something wrong with their swing. But they did a great job, you know, the cat and mouse game with him. And I think they just kind of realized that they didn't want J.J. to beat them, and they just kind of fished him out of the zone. And you know, it's his first double experience as well, so you know, it's just, that's where you're at this level, it's like, who's going to make the adjustment first, right? And they made it first, and J.J. just was unable to, you know, calculate and make the adjustment late. But I have no doubt in my mind this kid's going to hit, and he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, and for anyone who's listening, that's what we call a leading question. If you have any concern just from one series, you need to just relax. Go out, get your favorite beverage, kick your feet up, all right? You're too stressed out because there's a lot of baseball left to be played. All right, Smoke, last question from me. You open on the road. You put in a great performance against a pretty solid squad when you look at top to bottom from Mississippi, and now you return to Blue Wahoo Stadium. It's been a long time since you've had the chance to play in front of a home crowd. Playing in Jacksonville, you know, having the chance to travel there and work a few games there is an amazing atmosphere. You know, huge stadium, tremendous fan base. I know you've been to Pensacola many times before as a manager. Just how excited are you to be playing in front of what should be a pretty large audience that will be primarily rooting for you guys?
Yeah, it's always great to get back home off the road and play in front of the home crowd. It's a beautiful park that we play at. We have the privilege to play in front of these great fans who are just right on top of you. I love the scene here at the stadium, at Blue Wahoo Stadium. It's just so tiny and quaint, and you get to know the fans. They get to know you, and they're always rooting for you. It's a great fan base.
The Blue Wahoos open up a six-game homestand against the AA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. That's the Birmingham Barons. First pitch at 6:35. Again, on Tuesday, you can catch the Blue Wahoos and their manager, Kevin Randall, who was kind enough to join us. Seriously, Smoke, thanks so much for doing this, man. I appreciate it, and good luck against the Barons.
Thanks, Chris.